This is RSBNB Update, episode 369, recorded July 13th, 2012. Siesta for shame. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of RSBNB Update. I am your new host, because, Shane left. Tricky here. Woo! With me is our good old friend, Mr. Paul.
Hello, everybody.
All right, and one of my special guests that I'm having this week is none other than Mr. Dano. Say hello, Mr. Dano.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, see, Mr. Dano. Grandpa RuneScaper.
Grandpa, come on.
You're old enough to be one. Come on. Admit it. Yes, you are. Unfortunately, my other guest was unable to come on this week, but it seems we have more than enough. So, let's start off with RS update. This week we had the long-awaited Social Slayer and Glenanor Games preparation. So, did any of you guys try the Social Slayer?
No, I didn't either, but I think that it is a really good idea, the way they've done it, because I was thinking about just Slayer and teaming up with somebody in order to try and, make the grinding a little... I can see something like this even going further into other skills. Can you imagine, maybe even doing something like fishing or mining or something like that, and having... team effort.
Well, they do extra things. Well, in fishing, they actually do have a little team effort thing with the fish flingers. There is a little thing where you can actually where you have to have other people help you catch the big fish in that little mini game.
You'd kind of get that in Trawler too, I guess, right?
Yeah, but I was thinking remember when you're mining? Okay, basically, if you're mining one particular ore rock, you're competing for the resource. But what happens if maybe all of the ore rocks are almost concentrated, and as you mine as a team, you both get the ores and you both get the experience just by teaming up?
I couldn't figure this out though. But the slate combat and slate experience won't be shared between you two, but you'll burn through the task half the time. So you're not getting extra Slayer XP. You're really just finishing up the Slayer task to build up more points and whatever little prizes you get at the end.
Right, so the commodity is actually the Slayer points you're building up.
Mm-hmm.
Have they added any awesome things since a while ago?
Well,
in terms of points?
As far as cashing in the points?
In terms of cashing stuff in, because, even when I was playing, they weren't all that great. You have to get a crazy amount of points to get anything decent, and after you get something decent, you get the items and unlocks, and then after that, it's like, okay, I can cash in a stupid amount of points for 10,000 experience, and it's like, meh.
Mm-hmm. But what I think, what's good about one little thing I like about this little update is that if you're in an area that's, usually there's a lot of people there, most people who's going there for Slayer are just there to kind of, just gain for Slayer XP. I don't know how many people would actually go, yeah, I'll help you with this. I need the XP. So I'm not going for points. You're not going for points when you're doing this. But if you are going for points, you can probably burn through a lot with a couple of your friends. Just go through them right away. But the biggest problem I see is that either none of you have an active Slayer task or both of you have the same. And as you know, Slayer Masters don't always give you and your friends the same task every time. Two people will.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
So people will have to skip through a lot of them just to get the task to go with their friend. That's not really helpful. And if you're not on an active Slayer task, well, you're not getting Slayer XP, period. So what would you be doing? Killing the same monster in a non-multi-combat place?
Basically, yeah, both people who are teaming up have to be on the same Slayer task. But you wouldn't be fighting the same Slayer monster at the same time, would you?
No, you'd probably fight the same breed.
And as I read on the forums, you have to be close enough together for those co-op points to actually be shared.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So you do have to be in the same world and all. You can't space it out.
Well, that makes sense. If you are fighting something like that, it would be helpful. But I just don't kind of.
Well,
Paul, let me ask you this: would you, if me and you actually ended up miraculously having the same Slayer task, when will we really try to meet up a time for both of us to go at the same time with people competing with other people?
I don't know. I mean, I've got 99 Slayer, and at that point, I don't need any more experience. So, I don't know. It just seems like... is there anything good that you can get with points now? Because if not, I just don't understand the point.
Well, there are some new co-op points that you're able to get. You get two new pets, a cute, if slimy, baby Aqua Knight, and a tiny strike worm by the name of Freezy.
Freezy!
So,
but
does
you
it
also,
do anything, though?
You also unlock the permanent ability to share potion effects during a potion while your Slayer partner is nearby. They'll be granted half of the bonus that the potion imparts onto you. The ability to heal your partner by using food items on them can also be unlocked, which that's pretty good. And these are the only two functions designed to use in designated Slayer areas while in a group, but you can use them like in the wild or anything like that. It's only for Slayer areas like dungeons and tower and all that.
That sounds kind of... It doesn't sound all that great.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound worth going for.
Uh-huh. No. I mean, unless they've changed Slayer drastically in the last year or so, it seems like... I mean, it's kind of cool that you can share stuff like that, but in the same sense, you're losing out on half the experience. You're just getting points, and the points aren't... seems like they're still not all that great. Mm-hmm. Once you unlock, like, four things, like you get the helmet, I think there's a bones thing that automatically buries bones, and then there's, like, another one that might be decent, and after that, it's kind of... meh. Like, the auto-slay, that's all right, but it'll hit a gargoyle for you, and there's another one that'll auto-kill for you, but meh.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one other little thing with this little... they're getting ready for the beta. You know, in beta, everything is multi-combat. This may help alleviate some of the problems they may have in the future, but for now, I just don't see it working very well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope they just add something that makes points worthwhile, because then it would be definitely worthwhile if the points were, you know, valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Because okay. That's apparently the whole point is to get the points, so, yeah.
All right, so, Mr. Dana, any last thoughts on this one?
No, not really.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one. We have the preparation for the Glenanor Games. So, Mr. Dana, as I remember, you're talking about you were getting ready for this one. So why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I did try this out. Basically, you talk to this fellow, Mad Arrow, in the middle of Varrok. And yes, once again, once we have an update that's a special event update in the middle of Varrok Square, you get a lot of lag. It's not as bad as the Jubilee event was, but still there's a lot of lag going on. That's just a sidebar. But basically, you want to help out in preparations for the Glenanor Games, which are coming up. And this is a very simple event. Basically, once a day, you're able to help out with another task. I've done the first 3 days' worth. It's as simple as mining the scrap pile the first day to mine some gold ingots and smelt them into gold medals. To mine 14 ingots smelt into 7 medals. The next day, you mine the same scrap pile, 14 steel bits, and you make those into steel girders, I guess. And then the third day, you basically go and you help out with the cooking preparation and you make some food. So it's very simple. You do get some experience for these. 2,000-3,000, I think it's probably depending upon your particular skill level. Smithing or cooking, relative to your skill level, you will get some experience for helping out, and you gain these points, and these points will be able to be redeemed. Mm-hmm. Some prizes. Most of it is kind of cosmetic costumes, which you'll be able to buy with additional points as you participate in the Glenanor Games and build these up. A lot more of these things are, you know, more aesthetic kind of. They're nice to have. You know, they just take up bank space, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And as we all know, bank space nowadays is becoming a premium every single day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's nice that RuneScape is celebrating the Olympics and doing it their own way, having the Gellerner Games. So it's nice to be participating.
All right. Paul, do you have anything to say?
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. So as I remember, the games start next week?
Yes, they do.
All right. So I hope you guys get ready and hope to see you all having the cheese roll. That's a pop. All right.
Cheese.
Alrighty. So in other news, you can now use the Slayer Rewards shop. You can use the Slayer Rewards shop without having to complete smoking kills. However, you do need to complete the quest to buy anything other than the co-op rewards. And if you're having a problem with Slayer groups inviting you that are not blocked, you may have to change your private chat settings back on and off. This is just straight from JAX. So we have basically this week we have a friendly Slayer helping the update, and next week it's going to be the Glenor Games. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next week. It's going to be fun next week, you think?
Yeah.
Come on,
be good.
Come on, Paul, jump back in. Come on.
I'm here.
Come on, jump back in the game. Come on.
Oh, jump in the actual game. I thought you were like back in the conversation. Mm. Yeah. Meh.
All right.
If they like said, hey, you can have your $5 a month your subscription back, then maybe. But what is it, 70, 7 something or 9 something now?
$7.95 US.
Meh.
All right.
That's like 2 tanks of gas. 2 tanks, God, that'd be great. That's 2 gallons of gas.
Dude, it was 2 tanks, man. Where are you pumping gas?
I'm pumping it directly from the source. Oh, yes. No.
All right. Oh, you went all the way to Saudi Arabia. Cool beans. All right, so let's move on to the next little thing. We have little tweaks and fixes. There's not much tweaks and fixes this week. A couple little things. Are there anything in particular that just jumps out at you?
Not in actually the tweaks and fixes, except if you want to go down to the bottom of that and it says about the top navigation bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. Okay, everybody who actually plays the RuneScape client wants to just play the game.
This is true.
We do not want to go to the website. We do not want to go to the forums or to the clan page or look for some support. The client is all by itself, and especially if you're playing in full screen mode, full screen is full screen. You're not able to go to another tab or another browser to go to the website. The purpose is to play the game in full screen. Only the game. And I think the Jagus has kind of missed the point that, you know what, people don't really play RuneScape and browse the website at the same time. I don't see a whole lot of people doing that. I play the game. If I have a problem and I want to look something up, I'll stop playing the game, I'll go and research on the website. I can't do two things at the same time. So that top navigation bar has got to go, especially in the client. It just is useless.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other things in the tweaks and fixes that they did, which really is making a lot of people angry, is that the chat window is no longer resizable. Why would you do that? Why would you do? You can't scroll up the chat window to make it larger. Okay, has anybody at Jagex ever been in a friend's chat that's very busy and you want to try and find out what the messages were that just passed by? Well, you can't resize a chat window and go back up anymore. It's gone. You have to use a little scroll bar. That is really annoying. So I just wanted to bring up those two things. And there are thousands of people who are actually on the forums ranting about this right now. The really, really bad update this week with those two things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't realize just until now that they added the bar into the client while in the game. I think that's kind of redundant. Most people who need something will just go on to regular browser anyway, or they have their browser open for something else. But, you know, remember, Mr. Dano, the younger generation, unlike y'all, can actually multitask. That's why people That's why people have RuneScape open and while they're watching TV, while listening to Justin Bieber.
Yeah, everybody's got ADD these days.
Bieber, no.
And yeah, the resizing thing, that's a major issue, especially, as you know, we usually get some very bad people coming into the friend chat. And
we need to catch up on the text. That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but you know, this could be just a really bad bug. Hopefully, but we'll never know.
Well, I don't. I don't think so, but can anybody tell me if they remember that chat window resizing being available in the
client? Or
in the combat beta?
In the combat beta,
anybody remember if that's there?
I don't remember.
No, you have if you have the action bar above the chat box, is the chat box still able to be resized and the action bar just goes up with it? Because if they haven't designed it to work that way, maybe they're phasing that in
preparation?
Live, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, but I think they got to put that back. That's a real usability feature that is very beneficial to a lot of people.
Yes.
It sounds like it might have been like accidentally removed or something. But
maybe.
That's like a large thing to remove without any real, hey, we're going to remove this because clearly that would be better. I don't know who would have said that.
Someone up top who wants to be annoying. I mean, there's always that one annoying guy that tries to be right in every company.
This is true. This is true.
All right. So I'm going into combat beta just to take a look. But while I'm waiting for this thing to load up, let's move on to the next one, which is the Rune Shark boss killing.
Ooh. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Shark killing? What does that remind you of? Anything?
Rune Shark killing?
I don't know.
UBD.
I was thinking of more of Jaws, but alright, I'll go with that.
Oh, okay.
Dun-dum. Dun-dum, dun-dum.
Alright, so just go read this really quick. Simon and James have the Corporal Beast and Nex in their sights this weekend as they attempt to take on these mighty foes in the Evolution of Combat. On Saturday, July 14th at 9 p.m. British Standard Time, they face Corp, and on the 15th, Nex is on the firing line. How will they prepare? What tactics will they deploy? Which of the new combat's ability will have the most impact? Watch all the exciting action unfolding live on their YouTube channel as they live stream the whole thing straight to the screen near you. I should have been an announcer. And so, let's see. So basically, they're just going to show off.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, they're just going to show off, and maybe they can actually show how to use some of the skills. I'm still waiting for people to get together and just like hunker down and just go through every single one and find out what works and what doesn't.
Plus, yeah, go ahead.
Did you see the RuneShark live video streaming when he was when they were doing the QBD?
Nine.
In Black Dragon?
No, I did not. I was too busy.
I did as soon as it came out. It was really cool to watch it live and watch the commentary as they were going through it and trying different techniques and watching the first kill. And I think it was Mod Mark H that was waiting for him after the very first kill of the QBD that he went in and got it. And it was actually really, really entertaining. I got to hand it to him. That's an excellent thing to do. And I'd encourage everybody to watch these videos too.
So is it just these two people or...
Probably like, is.
Okay, so they don't want other people... Well, they're not having other people show up to attack, basically. I'm just kind of curious, because like, if they're trying to say, hey, come to the YouTube channel and go on the beta server, cause then you'd have like everyone coming in to try to help.
Which would be kind of cool, multi-combat.
But... Yeah.
Yes. That would be my only time fighting Nex in my entire life. I just got into the combat beta. The, resizable chat window is still functional. The action bar goes along with it on top, so I'm guessing it is probably a bug. That, you know how Jagex is. For every one thing they fix, there's like 10 bugs that gets released.
True.
All right, so hopefully they'll get it fixed within next week. So anyway, if you're interested, the live streaming will be this weekend, 9 p.m. British Standard Time. So have fun and enjoy the videos.
9 p.m. on Saturday for Corporeal Beast. Then Sunday, July 15th at 7 p.m. BST for Nex.
Alrighty. So,
And it says that one is the real date for the diary, as it will be the second weekend associated with the task required to unlock the exclusive Mad Scientist outfit. So if you want to get that Mad Scientist outfit, the 22nd and the 21st of this month are going to be the ones you're going to want to show up. Which is, coincidentally, when Batman, the next Batman movie is going to open. But, you can skip the movie and go play RuneScape.
Or you can just play RuneScape before you head to the movies.
This is actually quite logical.
Yes. God, Paul. All right. So, moving on to the next one. We have the 200 million account testimonial competition, and here are the results. Paul, why don't you take this one? I'm tired of talking.
Okay, I mean, do the whole thing or just parts of it?
Whichever way you want.
Alrighty, well, it looks fairly small. So, in a recent 200 million account competition, we asked you to send us your testimonial videos telling us what reaching this massive milestone meant to you. The prize, signed concept art featuring videos, for all future videos, and for the three best videos, a lifetime membership to RuneScape. Choosing those three winners is a three-stage process today. We begin stage one. Yeah, that's kind of awkwardly punctuated. We created a playlist on our YouTube channel, so go check them out, people. Remember, all future videos win a signed concept art, so if you're on that list, congrats. Blah, blah, blah. Stage two, once we hit 200 million accounts, which is coming up, we will announce five finalists. Which five would you choose? Help influence the judge's decision by going to the playlist and liking the videos on that you like the most. You have to have a Google or a YouTube account to do that. Stage three, our five finalists will then put into a poll hosted on RuneScape.com front page. Congrats to those people, because you're going to get a lot of YouTube video views. After the 7 days of polling, three most voted for videos will win each lifetime memberships to RuneScape. And finally, thank you much to everybody, blah, 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 mod Paul M.
Oh, Paul, you're so, a mod. Ha!
Well, yes, clearly, I definitely work for Jagex and all that, yeah.
You could, if you think about it.
Well, they are based out of the... Well, they're kind of based out of the U.S. now, sort of.
Ah. Well, anyway, so...
Yeah.
If you guys want to check out the testimonials, their playlists, it will be located, will be on their official channel. And happy voting. And I hope we'll see who wins. Hey.
Sounds good. Congrats.
And just as an update, as we are recording this, here's... since RuneScape's launch is 199,342,790. We're getting close.
So 700,000 more, or 600 and something?
660,000 or so.
Yeah, that's pretty, that's a good amount.
Oh, that's gonna be fun, ain't it? Alrighty! So, let's move on to the next one. Well, we have another behind-the-scenes video. This time, the penguins are coming back. So, for those of you who've done the hide-and-seek penguin quest, you know that Larry was missing, and we're on a mission to find him again. And have you guys done all those little quest series so far?
Yeah, I have. All
right. And so, basically, according to this video, it will be released next week, and we're going to be fighting walruses.
Walruses.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to be fighting walrus.
Well then.
Well, that's going to get guessed.
It's a seal.
That's a good point.
Close enough.
So think. Okay. Think. Okay. Remember Jamie Heineman and go.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Never mind then.
Paul, you're smoking something again, aren't you?
You haven't seen Jamie Heineman? He's basically a walrus.
Yes, we've all seen his massive beard.
Mustache. Oh, he does have a beard thingy. All right. Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. Sorry. Continue, sir.
So you're going on a mission to find Larry. Larry's somewhere being held hostage by the penguins. And it's up to you to try and catch him again. But they already said you may not be able to, considering they just spilled the beans and he'll still be MIA. All the stats you need are basically in the 50s and low 60s. So it's basically, so far, it's a medium level quest. Of course, you have to finish do the other penguin quest before you can do this one. Any of you looking forward to this?
I like penguins.
You do?
Penguins are cool. Mm. Well, all the penguin quests have been kind of interesting. Mm. Although, I don't know about that one where you had a slide, but whatever. I didn't actually do that one. But the penguin stuff in general in RuneScape is kind of like that cool Easter egg that was there for a long time, and then they turned it into a, I don't know, kind of a cool actual thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically it's going to be another puzzle quest, and supposedly there should be some decent updates, rewards for doing this. They even had one where the person was farming, so maybe it's a little farming update coming up. Small one.
Maybe they could enhance the penguin hide-and-seek distraction and diversion a little bit.
Nah. Add some new locations and all?
Something like that, because I do that try and do that religiously every week, because that's some good decent experience. I tell you.
Yes. Yeah. If you actually use Jack of All Trades Aura for, you actually get a little bit more than the penguins, but you have to do that every single day, which most of us would forget really easily.
That too. Definitely.
All right. All right, Paul.
Fishing.
All right. So.
Yep.
All right, so up next, we have the NPC competition. Okay, first of all, did any of you actually listen through that entire rap?
Tried to, and I couldn't catch five words of what he was saying.
Paul, did you even try to listen to the whole thing?
Oh, God, that's loud. And that's... I hate rap.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's really... Sorry, but no. No, definitely not.
All right. Basically, we just held a competition asking you to name all 13 NPCs featured in this YouTube track, and we had a lot of entries, but it can only be one winner. To see who won and see all 13 NPCs listed, check out the enhanced version of the track. And I would recommend you mute the damn thing, because it's an
yeah.
You know, I listen to rap, but my rap is more decent rap, not blur out as much junk out of your mouth in, you know, 5 seconds. I don't know what you consider decent rap, but to each their own. You guys want to have anything to say about this one?
As you said, keep it muted.
Yes.
Probably. Or at least turn down the volume, because it's rather loud.
Paul, did it blow out your eardrums?
I for the volume I have my headset set to right now, it was really, really loud. And it's not, my headset's not set that loud. It's only on 30%.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Alrighty.
Enjoy that.
So, moving on. Up next, we have the developer's blog, Changes for a Better Beta. So, beta has been running for over 2 weeks, and we're amazed at the amount of feedback. We're not just tuning and tweaking, but making some real core changes based on what you've been saying. I want to highlight a few things that we changed already, and some of the things we're still working on. So, first up, in beta right now, a few issues to start off. Some of them updates just went out. Let's see. We have the auto attack versus abilities. This is a big one for a lot of people. We wanted a more exciting and dynamic system that rewards players' skill and engagement. And we got good feedback from players who were interested in that. We also wanted to provide a satisfying experience for those who wanted less engagement. We all like to kick back and do some training in front of the TV sometimes. See, Uncle Daniel, I told you most people do that. And the new combat system wasn't really offering that choice. In the latest beta update, we increased the auto-attacking damage so that using them on their own is a satisfying choice. Best possible performance still requires good ability to use, just auto-attacking alone is more effective now than it was before. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think they should have added the auto-attack thing and buffed it up?
I don't know.
You
go ahead.
Go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, I haven't really tried the beta because I'm still free to play and not playing. So it looks decent.
Oy.
I don't know. So you two have probably tried it out already. So Sound like good updates for the beta?
Well, Mr. Dana, why don't you go first?
Well, I haven't tried really too much in the way of combat. Tried out the action bar. Watched the videos on the increased usability of action bar and what you can do with it. I'm impressed with that as more of a skiller. Seeing, you know, efficiencies in skilling. Not too much in the combat.
Okay. I've messed around with the abilities in combat, and, you know, I think there is still the AFK ability in this, because, you know, most monsters in the game are not that smart anyway. They don't react to you. You react to them. And I when I was in the beta the other time, I wanted to mess around. Anyway, what happened was, when I was in the beta, I put a bunch of attack skills together, and I just started pressing buttons like in order. So I put like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, something like that. And it worked out for me. I kill a lot of monsters a whole lot faster than just them auto attacking, and I was still watching my little YouTube video just to take a look, just to see if I was not paying attention. And, you know, most of the monsters here are aggressive, so they always attack you for a little bit. Even monsters that used to not be aggressive, they're aggressive now for whatever reason. I think this is helpful because a lot of people are always complaining. You know, people like to, as one of my friends put it, the older RS players are a lazy bunch. We just like to sit, click, and sit back.
This is pretty true.
Yes. If you like it, go for it. If you don't, you know, the action bar is there for a reason. I just wish they would make it bigger so we can actually see the dang thing.
Yeah. RuneScape, I mean, original RuneScape and then RuneScape, I guess, 2, technically, which is what the current version kind of is, other than the graph. The interface was designed for a screen of much lower resolution than what people have nowadays, so many of their features are just small if you have a large screen.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it takes a lot of mouse travel to get to if you're on a decent size screen. A resolution screen.
Yeah, and it's just really small just to try and figure out what spells to use because you're in that small little window. But, you know, they've experimented with Squeal of Fortune. We can drag that screen around. I'm waiting for them to implement that more into the game.
Yeah, that's nice. That is very useful. I like that.
So I'm waiting for them to actually put that feature into the rest of everything else because, you know, let's say, face it, every other MMO has that feature. Any good one, anyway. World of Warcraft has it. Guild Wars has it. Knights of the Old Republic has it. You can drag windows around, resize them a little. And, you know, make it fit your screen to the way you want it. So, hopefully they'll actually implement that during when beta is finished. But, as you know, Jackass takes forever for many little things.
Is there a set date for beta to be released, or is it kind of going to be done when it's ready?
I believe, Mr. Dana, you remember when they said? I believe it was, like, around August? Like,
it's next month?
Yeah, I think they wanted the summer to do the beta testing.
All right, so it's coming out pretty soon then. It's another month, roughly.
So the next part of it, avoiding stun. Like many of you, you weren't happy with the way stunning ruins your day. Freedom now works as the stun escape we attended, and anticipation now gives preemptive protection from stun. Remember that all stuns share a cooldown, so with a good time, you can resist the stun of a solo opponent with minimal disruptions. And so, Mr. Dan, I don't think you've actually fought anybody, other people in the game yet. I was fighting against Izant, and I was being stunned left and right. And I tried to protect myself with freedom and anticipation, but he would always get the better hand of me. Let's just say that many battles was not close, and even when he was meleeing, and I went mage. I still got my ass handed to me. Oh, I mean, my behind handed to me. So this is good, but I really do think that they should probably give some armor bonuses that will help resist stunning. What's the point of having a big heavy shield if, you know, someone can just smack you upside the head and you'll still be stunned? So anyway, moving on to the next part, we have the XP rates. They experiment with level cutoff that would encourage you to fight against monsters appropriate to your skill level. They remove this restriction from Slayer tests, and you don't get to choose those opponents. After more feedback, we decide to remove the level scaling entirely. Stronger monsters are still worth more than individually, but you still earn the full amount from a below level opponent. They'll keep an eye on this and see if things work out or not. So, what do you guys think that if you can fight level 3 chickens all the way up to 99 everything if you wanted to, what do you guys think?
Level cutoff, so like you couldn't actually fight low level
stuff?
Well,
you just don't get much experience from it. Supposedly you get like a major percentage decrease. Like, if you're level 200, you're fighting chickens, you're basically getting nothing anyway, but you get zero from the beginning of the beta.
I'm trying to think of why or in which cases this would be bad, because in many cases when you're high level and you're fighting something low level, you're probably not going for the experience, you're probably just going for a drop, in which case you probably don't care about it. But I'm trying to think, I can't think of a case offhand where there would be something that's lower level that you would actually care about the experience.
Well, Well, also, if you also think about it, though, what many bots are doing, they'll be level 30 or something. I've seen them in Taverly many times. They'll still be wearing full bronze armor, killing cows.
And this is true.
But
they don't need the experience, though. They're going for the cowhides.
No, well, not really, because I saw all the cowhides on the ground. And you kind of...
Well, bones?
Nope, everything. They were just killing. I'm assuming they're just leveling up so they can fight blue dragons or something. But...
that'd be pretty funny.
I believe they're bots anyway is one, they're all wearing the same thing, so everything's given to them around the area. But two, you have people with names like WDGFBTY.
Yeah, you can pick them out pretty easy.
Not just
always can.
I mean, from my perspective, in all fairness, if you're a really high level combat, don't compete. Against the low-level combat players for those monsters, right? Let them train on those things.
Well, that's why I'm saying, though. When you're high-level, you're going after something low-level, you're probably not necessarily going for experience. You're probably just going for the drops. And,
right.
And, I mean, that doesn't eliminate the... I mean, you could just not be cheap, but, I mean, I've got still plenty of cash, and I would always still fight chickens and do stuff like that, because I was, like, doing that. But and it would kill cows to get cowhide, and junk like that, but I didn't really care about that experience. I couldn't care less if I got one experience or five, six experience for a 3 HP chicken. But yeah, so that doesn't eliminate the fact that people can still get the rewards unless you were like higher level, and well, even then, if you were high level and instead of getting experience, you get more drops, but then you'd be there more maybe. Instead of being there less, because you want them more. I don't know, whatever. I can't really get
but,
that.
But, you know, most MMOs do actually do the level scaling thing, so it's kind of interesting why they decided to get rid of it. I think most low-level people, they're not killing, like, as you said, they're killing stuff for the stuff. If they're trying to level up, they'll fight something a little more manageable. You know, maybe if they're level 30, they may fight the guards, because they're around that level area, and they're still relatively easy to kill. Go away.
Yeah, except if you're training on something like yaks, you're really not going for the drops. You're going for the experience, right? You're training probably strength or something like that, because they don't drop anything worth anything. So it's in those circumstances that, you know, higher level players, let the low level players train on those for XP. Why are you getting any XP from something that you're not gathering drops from?
All right. So, well, we'll let the community decide, you know, what they think is right or not, but let's move on to the next one, which is the triangle got rebalanced. We just still want to bring you the corners of combat triangle to an even level, where each is equally attractive, and we're not there yet. What we have done so far is make changes to raise the damage potential of magic, and we're going to study that balance as the beta goes on, and onto a live release. What we'd like to know from you come from your best constructive and balanced feedback. Loads of people want us to buff their favor, but fair feedback is key, so try them all if you can't tell us how you feel. So magic got a higher damage buff. What do you guys think?
I think it's about time magic got beefed up a little bit. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's going to come out eventually for everyone, but...
Because, okay. You know, when I was fighting Izant the other time, I was using magic, and most of my skills wasn't really doing a lot of damage, or they missed completely, which is kind of weird when you summon the tsunami onto them. And as I was fighting, remember, I think it was me, Reed, Mike, and Shane, we were in Shane's place, and we were just messing around with skills. Everyone else was doing decent damage to everyone else, but my magic one wasn't doing that much. And I'm as magic, you're supposed to be able to fight meleeers a lot easier, because you deal extra damage to them. I didn't feel like I was dealing anything extra. Only thing I felt like I was doing was more of stunning them a little bit more. But that's you know, shot in the dark with stunning. So. You want to say something, Paul?
I was going to say, that's kind of... Yeah, it does kind of need a buff then in that case.
Alright, yeah. So up next, they also gave a single-way wilderness world. Single-way combat provides an important niche for PKers, and we underestimate how large that demand is. We've improved Mr. Way Monster Choose targets and charges to the multi cannons. We're happy that we can reach a good solution for PVM without a single way area. But for PvP, it's clear we need a more drastic solution. What we're currently looking into is having a small number of worlds in which a wilderness is single way. This solves the pile jumping and group ganking problems without producing a situation in which players retreat to single way to get out of a fair group fight. It's not the only possible solution, and we're not promising it will be exactly one that works at the end. So, single way wilderness worlds. I don't think any of us really PK very much, but if we ever venture into the wild, it's kind of not fair if suddenly you get jumped at by like 50 guys hitting you all at once.
So they're getting rid of the spots. So it's going to be either all multi-way combat or all single-way combat. There's not going to be like it is in current where you can go single or multi.
So far, they're just having worlds where it'll be single-way combat, and it's just to prevent people from jumping them all at once. But so far, rest of the beta still has multi-way.
It was just kind of cool, because in the current RuneScape, you could go in the wilderness, and you'd be perfectly safe in most areas, because you're in single-way combat, and you're probably not going to get killed by one person, probably, or you at least be fairly safe, but then if you have to get to somewhere deeper in the wilderness, the whole point of doing that is to get to more dangerous stuff, and then it becomes multi-way, and then you are actually in danger, or you're at least theoretically higher danger, going higher level into the wilderness. So if they're getting rid of that, that's like, I don't know, it's kind of weird to me. But it's good that they're doing some single player, or some single way combat, because it seems like a lot of the fights people want to do aren't where you can get jumped. They want to have a fair fight.
I'm actually thinking, you know, you remember back then when there were lots of, you know, clans would go out and PK, and suddenly there's like 20, 30 people running around the wilderness just looking for someone to kill. And I think this is just a way.
Yeah.
I think they're, I would say they keep it in like low level wilderness, like maybe above, you know, raise it to wilderness 30, because 20 is a little bit low anyway. 30 may be a little even. And basically, it's just for people want to go to like the run the abyss, chaos, maybe green dragons, depending on what's going on.
See that? That'd be good. Yeah.
Even World 60, if that was a single way combat in the wilderness, make it easy for penguin hunting.
Definitely.
All right, so we'll keep a look at this and we'll see what they do. So you guys want to take the next one? Because my throat is getting dry. Yeah.
Putting on armor. Armor now grants lots of bonus life points, and we know it's annoying that they don't automatically fill up when you suit up. Down a fix for this yet. It needs to be a solution that absolutely can't be abused for unfair gain, but the current favorite is some kind of safe zone. Rapidly heal up.
So in the beta, what's going on is for every, you know, depending on how high your armor that you're wearing, you get more health. So if you're wearing something that's very offensive oriented, you have a lot less health, but you can do a lot more damage. And if you have armor that is very high defensive value, you get a lot of health. And it was really annoying when you put on a different set of armor and suddenly you're basically 1/10 of the health that you should be, and you basically had to eat something or find another way to heal up. So this is a good fix, temporary fix for now. We'll see how it ends up later on. Just trying to work it out the bugs anyway. Alright, so Paul, what's your next one?
Philip, when you set up. That's interesting. Alright, Dungeoneering. My favorite. Dungeoneering has already seen lots of fixes and some improvements. Important improvements, such as the way bound armor interacts with your life points. We've got lots more on the table. First in the beta to make sure that the EOC didn't harm the gameplay. Then as a further project afterward to make other improvements that have come up since it first launched. Magic is suffering from some itemization problems at the moment, so fixing that should do a lot to redress the balance. We are also hoping to have time to make some interim improvements to binding. although we have a whole host of changes planned for the future project later. Full project later, rather. So,
yeah, pretty.
Dungeonarian still sounds like a minigame.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, this one was pretty straightforward. I was just telling you guys how they're going to try and fix it. Next part is summoning, which is basically the same thing. They're just trying to fix up summoning, but they're not done yet. And so, Uncle Dano, why don't you finish it, wrap the whole thing up?
Presentation and information. Basically, they're improving the presentation of the whole system, including targeting enemies, daunting ability book, ease of understanding the stats on equipment. I mean, to me, I'm looking at that too, and it's kind of mind-boggling. Many of our current problems stem from misunderstandings about the system, so explaining it better is a high priority in the short term. And to me, that's very, very important, because I know this is a major, major rework. There's going to be a huge learning curve, especially for someone like me who's not really into combat yet. But I'm very excited because I can see the potential for this really, really doing a lot more than what it does now. Okay, so wrapping this up, hopefully you can hear me now.
Yep.
Wrapping this up, what they hope is clear from what they've done so far is that they're listening to the players, test out the beta, and they're determined to make that the best game. They are trying. It's great that they're rolling out a beta, letting us try it out, giving them the feedback, them working on the tweaks, because that's really what the players want. They want some valuable input into the game. It's their game. They play it all the time. So this is a really good approach, and hopefully it's a huge success.
Yeah, it's going to be so... So basically, they're going to try and fix out the beta and make it better. All right, so that's it for the beta. We have one last part for RuneScape updates. They've been having a lot of updates this weekend, unlike last time. We have the George Samson talks about tanks, combat, and emotes. So, yeah, what do you guys think of this video?
I thought it was cool because I didn't know that they had a similar kind of entertainment competition in the UK as they do in Canada and the United States. So that's kind of cool. I saw the video. I'm always impressed when I see somebody like that who's got some public recognition and they play RuneScape. So
but
this isn't just for kids only. Well, he kind
of
is, but you know what?
He's not as much.
Yeah, that's right. He's not an immature kid, let's just say that.
He looks, as the British would call it, like a chav, but
okay.
There, I guess.
I kind of thought it was kind of trying to please the youth crowd, but I saw the video, I was like, this was stupid. I thought it was stupid considering you're just a singer and you're promoting RS, great, but it means really nothing. It just means you're able to press buttons. No, that was my thoughts on it. You guys have anything you want to add to that?
Well, it's a little bit of self-promotion for Jagex, too. It's all really... and I also saw on the forums that someone said that on one of the cable channels, one of the channels for kids, they're actually running RuneScape
really?
TV commercials.
Huh, never seen...
Yes, they are.
Where?
On some of the cable TV channels.
But, like, in the States or...
This one was, I think, there was one in the Netherlands, and I think there was one in the UK so far that I've seen.
Weird.
If you do a YouTube thing and do RuneScape commercial, you'll be able to some of the examples.
Huh.
But they're advertising RuneScape on TV now, too.
I know WoW used to do that all the time, and you'd get big-name celebrities to show off their WoW character, whether they actually did it or not. Mm-hmm. They said they did, so that was kind of cool, and... RuneScape, I mean, they have always had massive amounts of players, and it's always been they've always had a free-to-play option, and I think they always have, and I'm just surprised they haven't done that sooner. It's nice.
Some publicity. All right. Well, we kind of beat this one to death anyway, so do you guys have any last input on this little video? No. All right, Ian. All right, that's the end of RuneScape update.
Oh, yeah.
Now let us move on to questions. Paul, why don't you get the first one?
Alrighty. Hey, guys. Not so much a question this time as a correction to last week's show. Marumska and Shane both seem to have trouble pronouncing my name, so I thought I'd give you the phonetic spelling. Pern Asius. I hope that helps for next time. I really hope I said that right. Actually, since I'm already here, I will ask one Dungeoneering question. Is it worth killing all the monsters on each floor you know, on each floor before fighting the final boss for the experience, or am I better off just getting through each floor as quickly as possible? I am looking at this solely based on Dungeon Raider XP and token rates. Many thanks, Pern.
Well, as far as I know, it's actually best for the Dungeoneering XP and token rates if you definitely unlock all of the rooms. I don't think you have to kill every single monster in every room to get the maximum amount of XP, or it's very little in the way of a detraction from your total XP and tokens. So you don't have to kill everything, but at least open up all the rooms as much as you can.
To be clear, opening the rooms is what you need, what you should really strive for on each floor, and then move on by killing the final boss. Take the next question.
Okay, the next question comes from HIC142, dear Trekkie and Company. What Slayer Master with no requirements would you suggest? Vaneska? Turiel? Is there another? Fellow Homo sapien, do. If you look up Slayer Masters, you only have a few that do not require any requirements, basically. Okay. Stick with the lower ones until you get your Slayer level up, or you're able to access the other Slayer Masters. And some of those access areas, say, for example, if you need to get to a certain town, you need to complete the quest into that town. So I'm figuring that's what you're asking, is that you don't have the requirements to get into to see one of the Slayer Masters. You can't get into the area. Is there anything that you're missing as far as the low-level Slayer Masters? And I think those are the only two you can really access.
Is it just low-level in terms of, like, actual Slayer level, though? Or...
Well...
Sorry.
I'm saying it says with no requirements. So is there a certain... Okay, let's
just
say...
The first two don't have any requirements in terms of you don't need any Slayer... You can start Slayer level 1, but... I mean, if you're Slayer level 30, you wouldn't want to go to the lower level people. I mean, you'd want to go to the high... You almost always want to go to the highest one you can, supposing you can get to it. I absolutely agree with that. If you can't get to it, it's kind of SOL, as it were.
Right.
But of those two, doesn't matter. I mean, do them till you can get to a place that actually has a decent Slayer Master, and then do that. Whether it's a level or a quest that's stopping you, if it's a quest, just do the quest. Chances are it's going to open up a new area, and that new area has awesome stuff.
So, yep, absolutely. Yep.
Right. So, I guess we're going to go on to the next question.
Go ahead, Paul.
Huh? Okay.
Go ahead, Paul.
Alrighty. Dear hosts, about 2 years ago, I asked about the second continent that you still bring up today under the name Killer Sean, something like that. My question this week refers to that question. How would massive world expansion affect quests, lore, and the options for brand new skills? Also, do you think the continent would be northern, eastern, western, or southern? I personally believe that it would be eastern because that has the most hints in the game. Thanks for your time. Scream truth.
Well, I think I agree with him is that the eastern lands, you know, has a lot more integrated quest lines and has more potential for expansion. As far as really affecting quests, lore, and everything else, they can always build in extra lore. Additional quests and additional skills.
Yep.
Every time they open up a new area, that's a brand new opportunity for something absolutely new. And you know, we'd like to see really, really new stuff.
And they haven't had a new skill come out in, what, 2 years now? So if they did introduce a new skill with a new area to supplement that skill, that'd be pretty big news. And yeah, I also agree with yours and Scream Truth's opinion that it would be in the Easterlands because that seems to be the area that most people are thinking it's going to be, and there's already sections over there that are like, yep, it's kind of closed off, so it's probably going to be up in that section.
Yeah, and probably the hardest part for Jagex is making sure when they create something like this that it doesn't create any conflicts with existing content.
Yes.
So they don't mess up the lore, or they don't mess up something that's already integrated in the game, the storylines and things like that. So you got to be really heavily in depth to the entire world of Gelinor and all the storylines to really do this well.
Yeah, yeah. They if they don't do it right, they will have to fear the wrath of the community because someone knows the lore down packed, and you don't want to tick that person off.
Okay, I want to do. Why don't we do the last question? It's dear Trekkie Paul and very, very special guests. Well, thank you. How does it feel recording the show without Shane? Thanks, Poison Nova. Actually, I thought about this, and you know what? I came up with the analogy of, you know, Shane's been doing this for such a long time, and first of all, he does need a break. He's done how many hundreds episodes of this? 300-something? With only, like, 2 episodes where he's had a break? Does need a break, but it's just like replacing Johnny Carson with Jay Leno. It is not the same. The Tonight Show is not the same without Johnny Carson. New Year's Eve is not the same with Dick Clark, and RSB&B Update is not the same without Shane. I just wanted to throw that out there. So I hope he's relaxing and listening to this. Aww. And has a big smile on his face. We miss you, bud.
We miss you, Train. Jeez. We miss you, Shane.
I know. You said the Asian's got his own show.
only for 2 weeks.
Well, either he's really happy, or he's actually sitting there cringing and going, "Oh, I wish I could have done this show." Depending on how it's going to turn out in the end.
All right. Yes. Okay, then. So thank you all for your questions. Now we move on to Shane's other favorite topic of the week. Tech news. Anyway, first things first, Yahoo got hacked.
Yes.
So, yeah. Paul, why don't you educate these people?
Edumacate? So, the title of this is Yahoo Passwords Hack, Likely Taken Through Yahoo Voices. Yahoo is looking at a major hack that slurped up the usernames and the passwords of 450,000 accounts on Wednesday. That is huge. But the huge part, besides the fact that they were stolen, the security firm that found out this information says that the passwords and usernames, not just the usernames, appear to be stored without any encryption and in plain text. That means any idiot on the internet can see all of this information without even doing anything to decrypt it. So if you use Yahoo Voices or use Yahoo, it would be a very good time to go in, change your password, and especially if you're using that password anywhere else, you really, really want to change your password.
And according to the report, one of the most common password, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Others popular password includes 111, 1111, and 000, 000, and more than likely, password.
It says that 435,000 of those, however many was it?
435 accounts are pre-Yahoo.
Pre-Yahoo. So that's, if you use Yahoo Voices especially, you're going to want to check your accounts. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you might be safe, but change your password. It's so easy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and also, 400,000 is relatively small in the whole scheme of things, but still good to be on the safe side. And, you know, This is one of those things where, from what I remember was that the way that Yahoo got hacked was the exact same way that Sony got hacked a while back. Right? Someone just walked up and, ooh, hey, it's open. We're done.
Yeah.
So any future people going to encryptions or, you know, networking and, you know, computer science, don't be lazy. Because these things will happen, and it will cost you your job. More than likely, someone got fired from this. It's always the fall guy.
At a minimum, the passwords need to be hashed, which means they go run through an algorithm and get stored as something that's not the actual passwords. And that allows you to put like a 100-character password in, and it'll be stored as a 256-bit long hash or a 128-bit long hash. And someone who has the hash can't readily just unhash it to get. Well, they can generally unhash it to get the password, but it will take them a while. They can brute force that, but it's not just super trivial, unless your password is super trivial. And ideally, they would be also salted, which means it kind of throws in something random for each one, which makes it significantly harder to actually decrypt. And as is, They didn't have anything like that. It was stored in plain text. That's terrible. But, yes, change your password, and if you have super insecure passwords elsewhere, just a heads up, might want to change those too.
So, Mr. Dana, why don't you take the next one?
Okay, this next story is basically another story that talks about, well, what happens to your online presence when you die?
Paul, have you ever thought about that? What does happen when you die? What happens to your farm
account?
Well,
when you die, that type of die. Yeah, I've thought about it before. I've heard other people's plans. I haven't done anything specific because I'd rather not think of death at my age. But, yeah, I can see where this would be somewhat important. I've heard this program that I use is called LastPass, and basically you have one password. It's called a master password, and then it has your other passwords that are often very strange-looking but very hard to actually crack, which means as long as you have LastPass, you're all set. But if you lose access to that account, such as if you die and someone wants to get into your accounts, then it would be wise to break up your password and give that to separate people. So, like, give one to your significant other, give one to your sibling, give one to your best friend, and then when you die, they can get together and they can go through, or they can get into your accounts and kind of see what you're up to, or close stuff out, or tell people, sorry, he just died.
Yeah,
hope you miss him at RSVNB.
It's important to keep that type of record, just like it is to keep records of your finances and everything else, and your will is basically, you know, going to deal with your personal possessions and your assets. Well, you've got this intellectual life as well in cyberspace that somebody has to manage after you die as well. So you've got accounts and all sorts of things that you need to close, and some companies actually require you to submit a death certificate before they'll close the account. But if you don't even know the username and password, you're going to have a hard time doing that. So it's good to have the documentation all in line and saying, okay, this is my email account, it's my banking account. Have all the usernames and passwords recorded and stored with a safe family member, like I said. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I would just consider breaking it up that way. If your family member, I don't know, is a jerk at some point, they can't just get in. Or if someone steals your family member's copy of your awesome stuff, or maybe put it in a safe box, a safety deposit box that someone has access to, that would also probably be...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Good. Because that's not going to get broken into, hopefully. Yeah.
All right. Well, Mr. Denny gave us all something to think about in our distant future. So, last but not least, we have a little Android iOS information. Android iOS called dominant smartphones. Not surprising. Google's Android and Apple's iOS account run 86% of the U.S. smartphones, leaving RIM's BlackBerry and other mobile platforms in the dust. So this is just a little small graph showing, like, basically in the last 3 months, 54% of people have an Android smartphone, 36% use iOS, and less than about 9% use BlackBerry or something else. All around, basically the same thing for all smartphone users. And so what do you guys think? We kind of knew that Apple and Android were dominating the market, but I didn't realize that Android was dominating by this big of a margin.
I didn't realize that either, and I actually use an HP iPad, which runs just Windows Mobile, so I'm even below BlackBerry. So,
Well, you know, I think most of us are waiting for Surface to come out, because as you know, Surface was expected to come out during the fall, and it may change the game.
Not for smartphone usage, though. It'll change it for tablets.
Yes, but usually what most people will try and do is once they get it for a tablet, they try to get it for a phone, try and make things all hunky-dory.
Yeah,
but, you know, for Microsoft to really get into the game, they have to really either one or two things. They have to do two things, really. One is find out why people don't have a smartphone yet, and then try and get them a smartphone. So find out what's missing in their little marketing scam. That's nice. And their
Freudian slip there.
what's happening with their marketing for Android and iOS, and what you can do different to try and get those people who have not got a smartphone, who have not got a smartphone yet. And the second thing is, what would you do to try and get people who are using Android or iOS into using yours? What new innovative technology or ability would you use in order to draw those customers away from what they're using right now?
I'm one of the people that they'd have to lure away. I've got a feature phone, and it's on the family plan, so either my parents pay for the $30-40 a month, or I do. And neither of us wants to pay that type of fee. I have no use for a dedicated smartphone. Mm-hmm. I call, I text, and I've got an iPod Touch and an Android tablet for my geekiness stuff. So,
ooh, I heard a baby.
Be quiet, cat.
Oh, it's a cat.
It was like a cat. He's sitting right next to me, just like meow. He wants his catnip, little bugger. But at any rate, until the prices come down for monthly fee, I'm going to be with my feature phone and very happy with it. If they can make it like a $5 per month fee for, I don't know, it's just something. I wouldn't mind having a smartphone, but I don't want to pay for data. But you can't get a smartphone unless you're going to have data. So, meh. No? It has to be to the price point where it just is stupid not to have it. Like unlimited texting on the family plan right now is like $5 a month. And that is great. I text a lot, and I barely call anyone. So until it's that price level, it's not really worth it for me, personally, at least, to own a smartphone.
Mr. Dana, do you have anything to say on the subject?
Not really. I'm not really into that as having a personal smartphone like that. Mine is actually from work, and it's designed to run a GPS software, calendar system, run actually Windows Office mobile, so I can run Excel spreadsheets and things like that on my phone. That's the only reason I have that old type of device, and it serves my purpose just perfectly. So I don't need one of these iOS smartphones or anything like that. Okay. My personal purpose.
All right. Well, all righty then.
So, Trekkie, are you one of the people with a smartphone?
I have an Droid Bionic. I like it because I can act because I tend to surf the internet, and a lot of my family likes it when I'm out, and then suddenly, oh, hey, can you look up so-and-so? Like, oh, okay. Hey, you remember that video on YouTube that you showed your grandma? Oh, okay. And I'm the only one that has one with a decent speed on it. So I like it. Family likes it, and all the little kiddies like it because when they're bored of their mind, like, here, watch a cartoon. All right.
Nice.
So... yeah, so that's it for tech news. Woo-wee! So,
to the Skill of the Month update.
Yes. So, it's second week now?
Yes.
Yes, so it's the second week of Skill of the Month. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, indeed.
Gotta clear
all right, so leading the front in smithing, we have JBotMan7, who... gain over almost 7 million XP.
Pernasius.
There you go. Thank you. We have Pernasius with 3.6 million XP. And third is XBlade with 1.3 million XP. So, all right. Keep it up, guys. Keep it interesting. Shane would say it. Keep it interesting. Come on. You can do it. All right.
Wow, and JBotMan started with the least amount, and he is number one in terms of experience gain. That's
You know what you should
impressive.
Do, Paul? You should start mining gold and selling it to these people.
I could, or talk about achievements of the week. Yes, that's what we could do.
All right, so achievements of the week. Mr. Dana, why don't you take the first one?
Okay, we had Touchpad Pro get 99 fletching on July 10th. Thanks to you.
We have Unbirthday with 99 attack on July 9th.
And Mr. Dana, why don't you finish it up?
Irony with 120 dungeoneering on July 8th. Congratulations to all of you.
All right. Alrighty. So, it's going to be a short podcast. Hey, without Shane, it's a lot shorter, isn't it? Because he's not spewing his conservative Star Trek-iness, isn't it? Huzzah!
Ah, we got the Star Trek in anyways. All right.
No, I didn't. All right. So, to wrap it all up, we have the pick of the week. As you know, Glenanor Games starts next week for us, but where did that idea come from? Well, it came from the official Olympic Games. So why don't we? Yes, here's linking to the website of London, of the Olympic Games in London for 2012. Although nothing has happened yet, but you can here check out who's participating, who some of the athletes are. You know, check out Michael Phelps, Usain Bolt, world record in 100 meter final in Beijing. Find out more information about different athletes. Anything jump out at you?
Go Canada!
Canada sucks! So, have fun with checking it out and all your athletes, and good luck to everybody who's going to be participating. And as for everyone to know, the Olympic Games starts on July 27th, I believe?
Around
that time period. And, you know, I feel a little sorry for everybody who's going to go to London, because right now it's supposed to be summer, but it's raining worse than Seattle. Yes, you're going to be wet. Don't pack hot weather outfit. Bring a nice giant coat, big rain boots, and probably two or three umbrellas. Oh, and watch out for the flood. Oh, did you guys also realize they're putting a missile defense around London? Just for the games?
Yeah, I heard about that, and the apartment owners or the apartment dwellers are not happy because they didn't get any choice in the matter. They said no, you cannot put missile launchers on top of red buildings, and they went to court, and the court's like, "Yep, mm-hmm. you can put them up there."
Yeah, they should put it up on Parliament.
That kinda stinks.
And maybe Big Ben too. You don't mess with Parliament. They should put that one up there. And as the Olympic Games are starting up, RSBNB has our own Olympic Games, so you can sign up on our forums, and we're trying to form teams right now, and we have a huge list of RSBNB Olympic Games, so come on down, join us, have some fun. All right, so let's finish this whole thing up. What have we been doing, Paul?
Well, I've transferred to a new university, finish off my degree, and I have to take this class in the summer, so I'm doing that every day this week. I've got four more weeks to go, and I've got a date tomorrow.
Ooh, you got a date.
And yes, it'll be quite fancy.
Who's the unlucky gal?
And the unlucky gal, huh? Thanks, Brecky. Someone who also goes to the university, so... Yeah. Well, thanks for the vote of confidence.
Is she the party girl?
I don't think so.
You don't think so, which means you don't know yet, which probably means she is.
I don't know yet, actually, so we'll see. We'll see. I'll let you know on Sunday.
Well, Mr. Dano, any dating advice for Paul before he goes on his date?
Be truthful.
I always do that.
Always
be truthful. It's very easy. It's very easy to keep track of your lies if you're always truthful.
Right. And at some point in time, you're going to have to say, you know what? I play RuneScape.
I don't though, so it's all right.
Once a scaper, always a scaper, right?
Fine, I'll give you that. I will definitely give you that. Although I have gotten her, I've already talked to her into. Going into Minecraft and trying it out, and I think she's more attracted to the fact that she can blow stuff up. So, it'll be fun.
Mr. Daniel, you think he got a gamer girl?
That'd be nice.
She's playing Skyrim right now.
That's cool. All right, Paul.
Yes.
Bagger. She's already a keeper. Yes.
Bagger.
Yes.
Well, do what
if
I can.
If you don't get her, I will be very disappointed in you.
I'm gonna do my best not to disappoint Tracky, because that would seriously break my heart.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so glad Paul thinks so highly of me. All right.
Of course. You're my bro, man.
Get her to sign up for a RuneScape account and then get really married in RuneScape.
But I could go on Team Fortress 2 and buy that $99 ring. And then everyone would know my devotion.
Alright. Alright, so Mr. Dano, what have you been doing on RuneScape?
RuneScape, okay. Well, recently I got all my travelers all up to level 99 in Temple Trekking. The Berggrat Ramble, right? That was a huge task. And see Smitty Ryak again. She was just a useless traveler. Anyways, doing all of that, what I was doing was I was working on Herblore at the time. I said, okay, I'm going to add Herblore to my group of 99s I want to get at once. I started working on Herblore, and all of a sudden the Mauritania task set came out. And I love the achievement diaries, and I love the achievement diary gear. So I went for that, and it basically said, okay, let's go for the Mauritania legs, and you have to get all your travelers to level 99. So I started working on it, but I also noticed that's great Herblore training experience too, because you can use the tomes or the tokens that you get from temple trekking to buy high-level herbs, and I got a ton of Torstals. So then I started making
very
overloads,
nice.
and I go, oh, this is great for Herblore training. So as I was going through, I accumulated a lot of stuff, a whole bunch of Nail Beast nails. So then I had to make all of these Sanfu serums, all those, and that also helps me train Herblore. And I've got all sorts of other stuff to use up. So I've been trying to clean up after doing all of that temple trek. So that's what I'm working on in RuneScape. Rune Light,
wow.
In real life, actually, getting a new roof on my house right now. The whole thing. I've had some big limbs chopped down from my trees in my yard. I've got to chop those up. Yes, I have 99 wood cutting in real life because I operate a chainsaw. I'll be doing that this weekend. I actually have 99 fire making too, because I not only have a fireplace in my house, I have a fire pit in my backyard, and I'm actually qualified to light fires on fire, prescribed burns. So that's what I've been doing in real life.
You're qualified to light fires.
He's a pyro.
Certified.
He's a real life pyro.
Awesome.
Yes.
Certified. So, certified the danger zone.
Okay. So is your little boy still listening in to you right now?
Yes. He's not so little anymore.
Yes. All right. Well, Daniel Jr., what do you think of your father so far with all his burning thingies? Oh, he's shy.
You'll only be heard by, like, thousands of people.
All right.
Billions.
And not billions. Too much. Well, anyway, for me, I did a little slaying before the update actually came out. I did my penguin and every little thing else. What I've been doing recently is I've been doing touching my hand in flipping, like mini flipping. I just try to get what I can. So far, found a couple items that have been somewhat profitable. And last thing I was doing on RS, not that much. Been a busy weekend again. So, yay! So, anybody else have anything else to say before we wrap this whole thing up?
Well, I was just going to say that when we were taking the questions earlier on, that we wanted to make sure that they got the information on how to send in questions to RSBNB update. So audio questions can actually come into the show, the usual place, by emailing us at questions@rsbnb.com. Or you can leave a voicemail on Skype. RSBNB update is the Skype username. Or you can phone them in to 571-572-6632.
Alrighty then. So this is it then. Paul, any last words of wisdom before we head out?
Don't light your house on fire.
I hope
okay,
not.
Okay then.
Yes.
I hope that we all hope that Shane is actually having a good time on his vacation. He's relaxing. He's not cringing too much, and that we didn't really butcher the show too much for him.
Yes.
We love you, man, and we want you to rest up and come back because you are the man of the show.
But I got him I'm doing the Steam sale. I got him the Terra game. Terraria game?
Terraria.
There we go. I got him the Terraria game. I bought a 4-pack and I gave one to him and Mike Because Mike...
I play that game.
Yes, Mike really wanted it, and Shane had it on his quote-unquote wish list, but mm-hmm. he just had it to have it for the Christmas stuff. But he has it,
yeah. And
right now, I was just talking to him earlier, he said, I'm trying it out, but so far, I don't know what you think about it. And
it's fun. I should set a server and we'll get some stuff going. I haven't tried it in a long time. I don't think they stopped doing updates.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stinks, but it's fun.
All right.
It's fun.
Mr. Dano, any words of wisdom for Polly Paul before he goes on his date?
I know how to go on a date. Gosh.
I don't have to give advice. Just be yourself. You have fun.
Okay.
That's the plan, man. It's going to be awesome.
All right. So, Mr. Dano, any last words for our audience?
For the audience, I know that people have missed, me sending in some audio questions. I know I've been a little remiss on that. I want to come up with a good one when I do submit it, and I don't want to submit it when I'm on the show. So I'll wait till Shane comes back. And so basically all I want to say is I know I've heard that they kind of miss my style of audio questions. So the last words I'm going to say is, Godspeed, and another fine day in escape to everybody.
Okay, then. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.